Welcome to Sunday morning, Parshas Kisisa. So we just laid this last week's Parsha, Parshas Para. Parshas Para is to prepare for the Karban Pesach, and Klal Yisrael needed to be Tahor from Tumas Meis, so that's where they learned about the Parshas Para. It's the interesting Ha'ara. We all know that the Shulchan Aruch brings a Yesh Oimrim, that Parshas Para is Doraisa. So that means that somewhere in the Torah it says that there's a mitzvah to read Parshas Para. Where does it say in the Torah there's a mitzvah to read Parshas Para? It's Torah. It's in Parshas Zachar. We know it says Zachar says Shalcha Malik. But where does it say in the Torah that there's a mitzvah to read Parshas Para? Okay. But, so I want to talk a little bit about the eating of Tumas Meis. And specifically, thank you Rabbi Kasorla for coming up with the topic. I did some research on it last night. I got some, a lot of interesting things on this. A lot of surprises. About the Indian of, can a Kohen become a doctor? Is it permissible for a Kohen, who's an Orthodox Jew, to become a doctor? So before I start, I want to just throw out the question, if anyone has any preconceived notions about this.
That's all, the same question?
Okay, so I would imagine we could, our local Hatzalah member could take that Hatzalah training does not require any contact with dead bodies. Is that true? But okay, being in a hospital, but you could probably.
Well, if the guy dies.
No, so there's two issues. The issue of saving someone's life is much more lenient because there's Pekuach Nefesh. Rav Moshe is a true. I put in the packet from Igros Moshe. He says that to learn refuah, you can't say that's Pekuach Nefesh. That I have to study medicine because of Pekuach Nefesh, and right because there's other doctors and. Pekuach Nefesh is, if you are a doctor, then you have to save someone's life. So if you're already a doctor, you're already a Hatzalah member, and you want to save their life, of course you could do that. But we're talking about to go ahead and go to medical school. Now, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure part of the standard training in medical school involves coming into contact with cadavers, which are dead bodies. And I'm not sure if there's a way to do it without that.
If somebody went to medical school, let's say he wasn't from, now he's, he could be a doctor.
Continue. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a doctor, because you're saving lives. But the question is, could I go and become a doctor? Because now I don't have any medical training. I want to go to enter into a school where I'm going to go be matami meis and bezodin. Torah says a kohen is not allowed to touch not allowed to matami lemeis. So,
what if it's non-Jew cadaver?
Okay, so if it's a non-Jew, we'll talk about that. There's a few different reasons why it might be lenient. Is a non-Jewish mace also for a Kohen to be tamei? That's one question. Another question is a Kohen already tamei? So we're going to talk about these. He's already tamei, maybe that makes it more lenient. So I want to just go through a little bit I got from the Sefer Encyclopedia, the medical encyclopedia from Rabbi Dr. Steinberg. So he goes through the Inyan, and it's really not Pasha at all. At the end, I'll share with you some of the truth from Rav Moshe, and I also have a letter from Rav Soloveitchik on this that I found. But let's just go through. Is there any L'chayre Pasha that should be also? You're going into medical school, you're touching, you're in the same ohel as a dead body. L'chayre, it's an Isser of Tumas Meis. And a lot of poskim, earlier tshuvas were written about a kohen who's a doctor, is he allowed to duchen? Because the halacha is that if a kohen was b'tami lemeis, he's not allowed to duchen. He loses his kuna. So that would be even b'di'eved. So there is a tshuva from Maria Assad.
You say he loses his kuna, you mean he becomes a chol, or he means you can't?
I don't know if it's the full status of a chol, but it says before he's not allowed to.
He can't do
avodah. He's not a duchen and he's not an aliyah, kohen aliyah. We don't give him the chashivas of kohen. It says that too. Right, that's another thing they talk about in the Paiskim. If he was a doctor who was involved in abortions or things which might be nechshar, like ritzicha, is he a lot of duchen because of that? That might be even if it's b'shoigig. I mean, the Maria Assad in the tshuva writes that if he became a doctor and he was matami l'meisim b'shoigig, he didn't know better, let's say he wasn't from, or even if he was from, but he thought he was allowed to. So even if you hold that he's not allowed to, but he's a shoygeg, so that's not going to make him not able to duchen. Okay, but let's talk lemaisa. A guy comes to, he's in college, he wants to go to medical school, he comes to his rabbi, he says, Rabbi, I'm a kohen, can I go to medical school? I know that they're going to make me touch cadavers. So Dr. Steinberg, in his encyclopedia, goes through the possible heterim for this. The simple pshat would be that it's aser, right? He says a kohen is not allowed to be with tamei lemeis. It's an asei and a lois asei, and that includes not just the dead body itself, but anything that comes from the body, a limb, blood, flesh, bones, anything which comes from the mace is metame b'maga, metame b'masa, that means if he touches it, he has violated a prohibition. If he carries it, even without touching it, he violated a prohibition. And if he's in an oil, also, maybe you need a little bit more for an oil, but he's tame tumas mace oil. So the first is the shittas haravid. The haravid, I printed, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but the haravid in Hilchos Nazir, and it's Asagas in the Rambam, on Perek Hey, Halacha Tesvav. So at the very end, he says, just look at the last three lines, if you want to follow along inside. Me'ata, Tumah v'tumah, afilu pirish v'chaz v'noga potter. That if a kohen touches a dead body, and then he's pirish, that means he lets go, then he touches it a second time, so he's not chayev for the second touching. He's only chayev for the first touching, because the first touching, he became tummy. The second touching, he was already tummy. So the second touching didn't make him tummy. And says the Ravid, v'akoyhanim bizman hazeh tumei meis. The koyhanim nowadays are tummy meis. V'oid in aleim chiyuv tumo, and therefore they don't have any more chiyuv tumo. Amachayv oisam olalavi ravid. So the Ravid says, at least that's the way most people understand the Ravid, that bizman hazeh, koyhanim do not have a prohibition to be betime of the meis. It means a kohen, according to the Ravid Shita, a kohen is allowed to go into a cemetery because he's already tummy. It's like noga upirish v'noga. It means the Ravid understands that the isser is not to touch a mace, the isser is to become tummy. So if you're already tummy, then he's not violating the prohibition. So that's the first area that we could be lenient. If we want to rely on this Ravid, and we could say nowadays people are tummy mace. Everyone's tummy mace nowadays. It's hard, you know, if anyone is born in a hospital, he's probably tummy mace. You know, you drive under a tree. It's very difficult for a person to say that he's not tummy mace. A 20-year-old man who, you know, so if a person is tummy mace, there's no, according to the rabbi, there's no iser. Now this is only a shittas haravid. All the other rishonim argue on the rabbi. The Rambam is beferish in Hilchos Ovel. I don't know if you got to it in Halacha Dal, Halacha Hey. He says, if he touches the mace again and again and again, he's chayav malchus for each one. Yeah, very good. That's probably where the Rambam's coming from. The Ravid is a das yochid in Rishonim. And even the Ravid shita, it's not mafurish in the Ravid that there's no isser at all. He just says that, you know, you're not chayav. Many understand the Ravid is going to agree that there's an isser drabbanon. So to rely on the Ravid lemaisa is very shver. But maybe it could be a combination with other svaras. So that's the first area to be lenient because of the Ravid. The second thing, and this is something that you know the Pesach can take seriously, is that every kohen maybe is only a suffolk if he is a kohen. We don't really know if kohanim are meyuchas. So what are you going to tell? You're going to tell me I can't go into the medical school because I'm going to touch a mace? Maybe I'm not a kohen. So even though it's a suffix deraisa, it's a suffix lechomer, but at least it's a suffix. So you combine that suffix with other suffixes, maybe that's a little more lenient.
But you won't be able to do that, no?
Because of Imanushach? I don't know, but you have a suffix both ways. I don't know.
But
that makes it a shogig for sure.
What, it's a shogig because you pass kinsa?
Because since I had a suffix faker to go do it. Okay, so
then I thought it was mutter.
So right.
But some people do have yichus, like they.
Right. So first of all, if you have yichus, that wouldn't help you. And I don't know. He brings here in 1997. That's when this came out. They discovered a Y chromosome, which is the male chromosome, which was all traced back to Aaron HaKohen. It's very fascinating. He brings here. Rabbi Dr. Steinberg says that I don't know how they did this study, but they made a cheshbon that there were 350,000 people in the world that had this gene. Many of them were assumed to be kohanim, and many of them were people that they didn't think were kohanim. So that means they ascertained that 350,000 people had this gene, and according to their calculations, that means that gene started 3,000 years ago. Meaning, the way they have the algorithm or something to calculate each gene based on how many people in the world have that gene, how long that gene has been around. And they calculated, based on their computers, that this gene has been around for 3,000 years. Now, Aaron HaKohen lived about 3,300 years ago. So it almost works out exactly in the Cheshbon. So some say that if you have that gene, that's more of a raya that you're really a Kohen. So it's harder to rely, at least on the heter, to say, I'm not a Kohen, if you have the gene, and you're Kohen Yechus for sure. So it's a shver heter. It could be a chol, and the gene doesn't say you're not a
chol. I
don't know, it's something that you have a chesed.
Well, it's the opposite. I thought we say that Kohanim and Mishtam, they always kept it, and they didn't become a chol.
They never had a grusha or
the assumption is that they don't. I mean, you even see today, even some really non-Jewish people, they're mocked on.
Okay, so to rely on the Ravid is a very small tzad. And to rely on the fact that maybe you're not a Kohen also is pretty shvach, especially nowadays if you have the gene. Okay.
With the gene, you could mamash tochen, you could do whatever you could, like, it's like a foolproof.
It's a machlek zapoiskim, how seriously we take it.
They actually deal with it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some places like they know they're Kohanim. There's like a whole town in Algeria that the whole place was Kohanim. There wasn't a single.
Yeah, Jerba.
In Jerba,
right?
You know,
it's like after something. The person, she lies in the
same.
Right, yeah. You know, in
there's actually a lot of issues with the Kohanim. Okay. Okay. Heter number three. Rav Moshe actually mentions this one in his tshuva. He takes it to town. But some want to say, it says here it's from Tzitz Eliezer is a chashuv tshuva sefer, that there's a heter because of pikuach nefesh. That I want to go become a doctor to save lives. So I have a heter of pikuach nefesh, and that would allow me to even be mitame lemeis. Rav Moshe, Dr. Steinberg over here brings three stories why this is a shver heter. Rav Moshe brings some of them. Number one, there's other doctors. You have to go become a doctor because if you're not a doctor, someone else will save the guy's life. That's number one. Number two is you're not even saving someone's life. You're just being Isaac in, this is what Rav Moshe says in the Tshuva. He says, Limud HaRafua is not Pekuach Nefesh. It's only Isaac HaRafua. If you're already a doctor, that's okay. And number three is that there's no Chayla in front of you who's sick. The whole concept of Pekuach Nefesh is only if there's someone in front of us that his life needs to be saved. You don't employ the heter pikuach nefesh because of the possibility that someone might become sick. Okay, so that is a svara, but also very shvach. All the svaras are shvach. There's no good svara, I'm just telling you. The fourth svara is brought in. He brings here from Rav Yitzchak Riggio. Does anyone know who that is? I don't know who that is. So he says that there's a heter of parnasa. That person wants to make a parnasa, and he feels that the best way that he can make parnasa is by being tamid lameis. So maybe that's the sort of matter. And he tells too that we know that if a kohen wants to go to chutz laretz for parnasa, he's allowed to, even though we paskin that eretz amim has tumah. Midrabanan. Mar says that being outside of eretz Yisrael has tumah midrabanan. Tumah eretz amim. Mar says Mar Nazir. Oh, so right? They argue that's only the Rabbanan. No, it's Tumas Meis with Rabbanan. It's like a Rabbanan gave it a din like Tumas Meis. A Kohen wouldn't. But it's like a Gzeira. They made it. The Gemara says they made it like a
right,
Tumas Meis Rabbanan.
It's because of Safek. It's not because of Vaday.
But it's only with Rabbanan. That's why it's Shver to Shtel that too. okay, but there are some that say that also Heter of Parnasa, Pashtas, might only be if like you need money, but to say that I'm going to go into that line of business, and so go to a different line of business. Like, who says you need to go into that line of business? And if you have someone that's the only way that he's going to make parnasa, and otherwise he's going to starve. Okay, but to say I have a heta parnasa because I want to do that. Guy wants to go work in Hollywood, you know, because of heta parnasa. You know, you have to know. Okay, that's number four. Number five. This is actually probably the best heter. Which might not be Negeya if you're in an Israeli medical school. I'm not sure where they get the cadavers from. But in Chutz Laretz, the cadavers are assumed to be from non-Jewish. Could be in Israel, it's also like that.
Actually,
they get it from
Iran. Yeah.
And there was Rav Shafan there.
You can probably send them an email and answer you uh-huh. the rabbi. Yeah, no, Rav Shafan Nebaka of
Mendel?
No, somebody uh-huh. else, a different Rav Shafan. Uh-huh. He's like the rabbi there uh-huh. for you, and he gave us a whole lecture about it, and they were a Kohanim there, and they were...
Okay. They probably went out of their way to get non-Jewish cadavers.
No, I think by
there's no such thing as a Jewish cadaver. They're all buried.
I think by default, most cadavers are non-Jewish.
Non-Jewish, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so does that help a chlal?
The Rambam made it sound like that.
So the there is a big machlokes rishonim if a mace akum, kivrei akum is matame b'oil. The Rambam and most poskim, Shulchan Aruch, paskin that kivrei akum is not matame b'oil. So you have what to rely on, legabe tumas oil. However, Even those poskim hold that a mace is metame b'mago v'masa, and even maybe behesed. So if you touch it, or if you carry it, it doesn't help. Kibri akum is metame b'mago v'masa. So I would imagine they probably have to touch them. You don't have to touch it?
No, you just look at it.
You just look at it.
Yeah,
so if you're not touching it, and you're just looking at it, that and it's kibri akum, then you have a much stronger start to be lenient. There are some Rishonim that hold that Kivrei Akum is matame b'oil, so it's definitely what to be choshish for. But if there's not only going to be Tumas Oil and no Mago Masa and it's Kivrei Akum, that's probably the best heter. Some say if the medical student wears gloves, brings it for Mishnah Savram, that if he wears gloves, it's better. It's a very shver heter because what does wearing gloves help? It might help for Mago.
Right.
But there's still Hesed, probably. There's still Masa. A Mesa is Matami B'mago, but Masa B'Hesed.
It helps for Mago. Gloves help for Mago.
He's thinking maybe it's like a, I don't know. That's what he assumes.
Well, if I need that,
I don't think
it goes
well,
right?
No,
that's I will mention, yeah, but that's not Tumah, that's because of...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all different Indian. That's all different Indian. Oh, he sells it too for this. Okay, but I'm saying that... You're selling to Hilchas... Harchaka Ma'arayis to Hilchas Tumah. Yeah. Okay, I will just mention, Rabbi Kassori wants me to mention, and Rabbi Dr. Steinberg brings it in the... He brings it here, that there is a heter from Shlomo Gurin, which is very shver, but just it's nicest to bring up the Indian. He says that there's, I'll just give you a little bit of background. It's a nice chap, but to rely on the Lamaisa, the Poskim were matched. It was very controversial, it's very controversial. But there is a halacha called Cherev HaRekechol. Cherev HaRekechol means, it's the Mishnais, the beginning of Ohalois, that a metal kli, any kli matches that touches a dead body, gets the full chomer of the dead body. Okay, so normally when tuma gets transmitted from a metame to a makabel tuma, it gets downgraded. And then, so like if a mace would touch a let's say a table, plastic, okay, it's plastic. What's a kli eitz, you know? So it gets downgraded to an avatuma. And then if the kli touches a person, the person has a rishon tuma. But if the kli is a kli matches, like a sword or something metal, then the kli becomes harehu kechol, it becomes like the mace itself. So, and then if a person would touch that kli matches, he becomes an avatuma. He doesn't just become a rishon tuma, he becomes an avatuma. So that's the first step. So a metal kli has the full chomer of a mace. Cherev harehu kechol. Now there are some poskim that hold. This is also not so pasha, but there are many poskim that hold that a kohen is allowed to touch a kli matches. That's cherev kechol. His issur is only that he can't touch a dead body. Similar to that Rambam about the kelim, the issur is that he can't touch a dead body, but to touch a cherev which got the tumah of a mace from cherev harehu kechol, this already many poskim hold that it's mutter because that's not lenefesh lo yitamo. It has the tumah of a nefesh, but it's not lenefesh yitamo. It's not so pasha, but that's a So says Rabbi Gurin, so I have an etza. Tell the kohen to carry on his body a chain or a necklace, which is a cherev harehu kechol, and then it's like he's automatically touching a mace. He's allowed to do that because that's not a mace itself, but he's actively tummy to a mace. And now he can't touch, he's allowed to touch a mace, because the whole reason why the Rishonim argue on the Ravid is because Pirish. Right? I mean, the Ravid says the Isser is only to if you're not Tameh. So most Rishonim are going to Ravid and hold that you, every time you touch a mace, you're becoming Tameh. That's only because Pirish, because you're not actively touching a mace. You touch the mace, you let go, you touch it again, you let go. But let's say you're still touching the mace. Let's say you're touching a mace with the left hand. Everyone agrees you're allowed to touch a mace with your right hand, because touching with your right hand is not adding any tumah. So the argument is that if you have this necklace around your chain with a cherev harekah cholol, it's like he's touching a mace.
But what is the first time? Where does that transfer?
So that's what I'm saying. Because you're relying on the shittas that touching metal is not usr for a kohen. There's no usr for a kohen to touch metal, even though the metal kli, the kli matris, has the full chomer of mace, but it's not a mace.
They also have the metal that came to a mace. That's his necklace.
Someone else, Yisrael was Matameh for him.
No, but if somebody's already Tmemet, what difference does it make if he touches, not touches? He's already Tmemet.
So most Rishonim hold, the Rambam says that every time he touches it is another lav. Right, because the lav is not to become.
Says no.
Right,
the Ravid says no. The Ravid says because of the Tmemet.
Right. So according to the Ravid, the whole issue is moot. According to the Ravid, it's perfectly fine for a Kayan who's already Tmemet to go to medical school. But we're going to feed the Rambam and Rav will show him that it's usser.
He's saying that those shots are that even if they're still the touching the mace, they're allowed to be blessed if you touch the mace. Even according to those who cut the Ravid, they would agree if you're still touching the mace to touch another mace.
Yeah, so that's
fine, right? That's yeah.
The Rambam says you have to run out though, the mace and chorus. Why is it not the same thing?
Here,
you go and show you, he says.
That's where he's not wearing the chain.
No, but he's wearing a Tomei mace, but it's Masayah. Why is it that? Why is it different?
You're saying every second. No. Why is it different? Yeah.
So I hear it. It could be that the Rambam holds that your chiyuv is to be pirish.
But
I don't have to be pirish from the metal, the kli matris. Because
it's not the matris.
So, but for me, letting go of the mace. Right.
Because it's not it itself.
Look, he definitely gets 10 points for kishrin, but lemaisa, the way Dr. Steinberg says, the rabbanim achayim dochu gishazu. The main svara, which the main chiddush of what he's saying is mimonoshach. Because if you're going to go with the shitas that a kli matzis doesn't have the iser, so then lechara touching the kli matzis, you don't have the full tumas base. So you can't use the svara of the mekilim that kli matzis is not nichlal in the iser of a kohen to be metameh, and then go tell me, yeah, but you're touching a kli matzis and now I can touch a mace.
Unless you did it at the same time, the first time.
What if it
gets
downgraded a little bit?
I mean, if Kli Matris has the full chomer of Tumas Mace, then he has no right to touch the first metal Kli. Elamai, you want to say that Kli Matris doesn't have the full tumor of Tumas Mace, so then you still can't touch a dead body. It's like a funny, it's a nice chap because the Kli Matris has the chomer of a Tumas Mace without the actual Tumas Mace. But to go ahead and say that it allows you l'chatchila to touch it is a big chiddush. Okay, Lamaisa, just to wrap up, Ramosha. He has a tshuva to Rav Shimon Schwab. It's written in Tovshin Lamed Dalid. It's printed in your packets. And he's very sharp. He comes out that...
Oh, under Moshe.
He says that there was a sefer, someone wrote a sefer that says it's mutter for a doctor to go to medical school, even though he has to touch cadavers. And Rav Moshe says that this sefer... He writes very strong things about the sefer. And he says the heter is on Dvar Hevel, and you can't rely on it. Rav Moshe says Paskins in the Tshuva that it's usher for a kohen to go to medical school if he's going to have to touch cadavers. I also have over here, I think I put in the packet, a letter from Rav Salvechik from YU, from Boston. He says Vadek Dinoy Kedin Kohen Ametame the Mesim Bezodin. If a kohen goes to medical school, he's like a kohen that became Tame Bezodin, which means that he's not a duchen. That's the din of a kohen Tame Bezodin. And he says, "Shela zu enet zricha lefnai v'lefnim." So I don't know. I mean, we all know kohanim that are doctors. Maybe there are rabbanim that are matirit. Maybe they weren't from when they became doctors. Or maybe there are ways to go through medical school without actually touching cadavers, especially nowadays. But isn't medical school like I was once reading a book like on day one of medical school they pull out the cadavers? Like they say, if you don't make it past that. Then,
somebody's
like
a podiatrist.
I don't know.
Usually, most specialists have to go through the whole system.
Then
right.
I have a friend who's a kohen. He's a real Ben Torah, and he became a PA, and he told me the reason why he became a PA and not a doctor is because in PA school, You don't have to really touch Mason, but in medical school you do. He lives in Cleveland. But whatever, I'm just saying, there are, maybe nowadays they have like models and computers generated, so it's probably they have simulated things that you don't really have to touch cadavers. But it's definitely worth the shiloh. If you know someone who's a kayin and he's planning on going into medical school, don't just assume.
According to Salvechik, it's a school to become wealthy, Ventura, and Lubavitch.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Yashukach.